We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs that's been with us for over a decade at Tab Computers. Help me out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. So we have one line open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And Danny is out there, our resident groupie from Glastonbury First. Hey, Danny, what's up?
Hey, I heard you talking to one of those earlier callers, and he said he had about it with his email. You said at sbcglobal.net?
Yeah.
That's what my wife has. Is that like she shouldn't have that, or she should have something else?
It's just SBC Global. Were they before SNET? They're just after SNET. So yeah. When SNET broke up or went away,
right.
SBC Global was a... Now how long ago has that been?
Well, she's had it, you know, for a while.
Right. So at any moment, whoever owns sbcglobal.net could just say, eh. Why are we still running with this domain?
Uh-huh.
And her email box will change.
Oh, I see.
So that's the only thing. And then
does have Yahoo as like her homepage or whatever pops up or something.
Yeah, I think it's powered by Yahoo, and right. Yahoo had 1 billion hacks, as we all know,
yeah.
of their mail. So there's a lot of reasons to not have it.
Mm-hmm.
But in this poor guy's case, Ken, he didn't know where to start, and I think it's probably through AT&T in this case. The conglomerate.
Oh, it would be Frontier now.
Frontier, right.
From Frontier, yeah.
Right, Frontier.
Another thing real quick. You were talking about defragging.
Yeah.
Can I do that? Do my tablets do that?
Danny, not really.
Okay.
You should have a little tool on the Samsung that'll clean up space for you. It's part of the Samsung utilities.
Right.
But hard drives are different.
That's like the Clean Master.
Like the Clean Master.
On my true love.
Exactly, on your Acer, yes.
Hey, what do you think about, I was surprised you didn't mention anything about those zero-day attacks, the tools that got released for that?
Oh, the recent attacks that were used to bring up Stuxnet or something like that? That one? I can't
well,
really
yeah,
say.
I guess there was just a new WikiLeaks dump, and they released a whole bunch of tools that the NSA had.
Yeah.
That can get into anybody because they've never been used before.
So I didn't.
No defense?
I didn't bring them up. No, you know what? I just feel like I'm saying it almost every day.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And people don't really necessarily fully understand. Neither do I, what the risk is of those tools being out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't want to freak people out too much.
Yeah. And how about the banking system has been monitored in the whole world forever by the NSA?
Yeah, that's not a surprise. I'm not surprised. Are you surprised? Remember that whole thing with Denny Hastert and what he did with his payoff to that guy? I mean, everyone
right.
you know, tries to circumvent spending X number of dollars. And I mean, I would contend it's been monitored for a long time.
You know, I read a book back in the 90s called The Puzzle Palace
mm-hmm.
by a guy named James Bamford, and it was about the NSA.
Yeah.
You know, back when they used to call it No Such Agency. before it was in the news so much.
Is it worth recommending?
Yeah, it is, because... It really is, like, he was talking about back then, everything that they're doing now,
mm-hmm.
except, you know, it wasn't as common terminology because of how the technology and the net and the web and everything's advanced.
Right.
But, I mean, they were on it way back.
Yeah, this book was written back in 83, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a very interesting book.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
So, Danny.
Yeah.
Did you see the article on what the Earth looks like from Saturn? They had the pictures in there from the NASA's Cassini spacecraft.
They had the picture of us taken. Yeah, right. Yeah, that was a beautiful photograph.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about, but now I got to go find it.
Oh, yeah. Show them where it is, Bob.
I'll put a link up there.
Okay.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye. All right, our resident groupie. Let's move on to Rich in Nugatuck. Hey, Rich, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
It seems like defragging is a popular topic this morning, and I just wanted to get your guys' take opinion. Isn't it always, or hasn't it been true, that to defrag an SSD drive, you know, solid-state drive versus your traditional hard disk drive, not such a hot idea?
Correct.
And if you guys have, well, maybe you might want to clarify for the users out there, because you kind of cavalierly threw out the defragging the gentleman's drive. But I don't know, maybe I missed it, whether or not you clarified whether or not he had an SSD or an HDD.
We're pretty sure he had.
By the way, that Google Earth thing was pretty sharp, by the way, also.
Was it? Cool. Yeah, the SSD is a good point, Rich. Nowadays, more and more people are buying SSD drives. So just so you guys know, defragging on a traditional hard drive versus SSD, you don't want to do it on an SSD drive. And by default, most operating systems are SSD aware and will turn that ability off and won't run those routines anyways. Or they'll warn you. Some of them can warn you. But I agree with you, Rich, that SSD is definitely something you don't want to defrag. With defragging, you're going to move all the files nice and close to that spindle on a traditional hard drive, and that'll make things faster as far as read-write. So, yes, we should have caveated it. Sometimes I think they do it, sometimes I don't. So,
and,
thank you.
The SSD, it has what's called the trim command, mm-hmm. which replaces the defrag command.
Right. So, good point. We should have brought it up.
Yeah, just wanted to mention it for some of the guys out there that maybe, you know, dropping into, like, Dell's has their accessories, and you can go into,
right.
Dealing with for there. So, that was all. Just wanted to point that out.
No, good point, Rich.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir. You too. The thing about this as well is that part of the logic I like to use is if your machine is running slowly, then you're going to use these tools like defrag. But if you have a solid state computer, I doubt it's running slowly. So you wouldn't even, you'd be like, my machine's so fast, I don't even have to deal with it. And solid state, it really is the way to go if you want performance.
And he was running a Windows 7 machine.
Yeah.
Which the operating system is not SSD aware.
Right. So then it would have allowed him to run that defrag and would have been bad, but he's not running. He's not. If his
and it was 5 years old,
yes,
I mean,
I'm pretty sure he's not running SSD. But Rich is right. We should caveat it so we don't want. There are folks out there that are just like to run utilities. We don't want you to cause trouble.
There are people that try to clean up their disk drives too much.
Yeah, don't be a computer neatnik. If it ain't broke, don't fix. Let's go on to Richard in West Hartford next. Hey, Richard.
Hey. Good morning.
Morning.
I've got a problem with attachments and email.
All right.
I'm working on with Windows 7, and the email program is Windows Live Mail. And I used to be able to open the attachments directly from the email just by right-clicking and opening. But now my only option is to save it and then go to the file manager and fetch the file.
Gotcha. So you're not able to open it within the Live Mail program.
Exactly.
All right. Any idea, Bob, off the top of your head?
No, it should download unless it's being blocked. Let's say, I don't know whether that would be considered a pop-up or whatever. But
no, it's an attachment. He wants to open like a PDF within the Live Mail application, and he has to bring it down locally to do it.
Yeah, I went to the internet, and one of the options was just to go to the options within the email program and make sure that was attachments could be opened, and I did that, and it was already okay.
Are you sure it has to do with all attachments, Richard, or is it just certain attachments?
No, PDF files, spreadsheets, and Word documents.
I'm thinking it has to do with some sort of preview or some sort of support for those files not being part of the... However, you bring it locally and it's there, right? It's there, obviously. So you must have the application to look at it.
Oh, yeah. It's there. I mean, as soon as I save it and then clicking on the saved file, it opens right up. That's not a...
Yeah, and no error. Just won't let you do it. You'll double click on
right.
it.
That's right. No signal at all. It just blank. Nothing. No reaction.
No reaction.
This is in Outlook, right?
Live mail.
Windows Live Mail.
Yeah, we're not finding anything that tells us, you know, why or how to correct that without an error. It just blank.
Yeah. And as I say, I used to be able to do it all the time for years.
I'm not finding anything.
Yeah, I've got something here.
You have an idea?
I don't feel so bad now.
Yeah. I haven't heard of it before. Generally, it has to do with the support for the actual file not being on your operating system. There's something here from December 2016. You find something, Bob?
Yeah, I've got something here from February 25th, and it says to use the Windows shell to open command to create some sort of a registry entry. I'm just reading it now.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, there's been some updates, too, that can cause this. Microsoft could have changed this, too, during an update. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is a weird one. An update could have caused this, but this is for older systems. You're running Windows 7, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a weird one. I assume your preview has been turned on, right? You have the preview ability within the live mail turned on?
The preview?
Because that's a security feature. Sometimes you turn that off because attachments, you don't want them to run. And you turn that ability to preview mail or attachments off. So maybe your preview pane in live mail has been turned off.
I'm in the options section. Where do I see that setting?
Hang on, kid.
I think I might have a possible fix here.
You do? All right.
Yeah. This is from Microsoft Answers, from the Microsoft Forum.
Yep.
It says, I cannot open attachments from Windows Live Mail 2012.
Right.
And what it's saying to do is, once your files have been backed up, then follow the steps to repair Windows Live Mail. It says, go to the control panel, click on Programs, click on Uninstall, look for Windows Essentials, then uninstall it. A window will pop asking you whether we want to remove or repair. Click on the Repair All Windows Essential Program.
So they're saying it's a problem with the actual application.
So I can post a link for that.
Excellent.
And it could mean, from what we're seeing here, that's the thing. We're not seeing any specific thing that says that it's broken. We're just seeing that, you know, you can turn it on, turn it off in the preview as well. Show images in Windows Live Mail. There's checkboxes for that. How to disable thumbnail previews for attachments. Hang on, that's back to 2012 again. But it sounds more like you've got something wrong here. But there is if you go to View and select Show Message Header, there's a reading page drop down. It'll end. We can put a link up for this as well. We're not big fans of Windows Live Mail. We use more Outlook in our day-to-day work.
Yeah.
But we'll put this one up here as well to see if that helps you how to disable the preview, which is what I would contend has possibly happened here. In this case, you want to re-enable it, so do the reverse of what I'm about to post.
All right.
And see if that works.
So you got two posts there. One is, I'll find them all right now.
Oh, yeah, you'll see them for yourself. Now, there won't be a computertalkwithtab.com because the site's we're having some trouble with that, so you have to go to our Facebook side and find it there.
Okay.
So like us at Tab Computer System, or just go over to Tab Computer System's Facebook page. These same links are there as well for you.
Good, good. All right.
That's a weird one, man.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, I'll see what I can do with it all.
All right, thanks, Richard.
Bye now.
All right, bye-bye.
We're a tech company having technical difficulties.
yeah. We just recently updated our website, and it needed an update. It had been running the same way for a long time, and tool we're using to allow for automatic concurrent updating on this new website is giving us some fits over the old website. So the old websites were to work perfectly still. This new one's better, quote unquote.
Well, maybe it's operator error. We have to come up to speed on it.
Yeah, I don't think so. So Matt, we got to take a quick break here. Yeah, I'm going to step out for a quick break. We get four lines open for you guys. We're here until 11 o'clock, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out with computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. The lines are starting to ring, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And as we wait for Matt to pick up these calls, we do have a couple of other technology news things you might be interested in. And Bob had one that Apple's working on. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, this one's very secret, so you can't tell anybody.
Yes.
Apple may transform diabetes care and treatment. This is according to a report. Apple is working on a secret project to develop wearable devices that can monitor the blood sugar of diabetics without using invasive finger sticks.
Nice.
Part of a vision that originated with company founder Steve Jobs, CNBC reported earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Apple has assembled a team of biomedical engineers from various companies to work on the project, according to the report. Core, C-O-R, a company Apple acquired in 2010, has been working for more than 5 years on a way to integrate non-invasive glucose monitoring into a wearable, like an Apple Watch device.
Nice.
Glucose monitoring traditionally has required that diabetics use lancets to pierce their fingertips at least 4 times daily, measuring blood glucose levels before meals, when waking up, and before going to bed.
Yep.
Many type 1 diabetics wear pumps to deliver insulin, and they sometimes test up to 16 times a day. That's a lot of finger pricks.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, one of the benefits of continuous glucose monitoring is to warn diabetics when blood glucose is rising or falling rapidly. Hypoglycemia can result when glucose levels fall below 70 milligrams per deciliter.
Right.
Hyperglycemia, a rapid rise in blood glucose, can lead to ketoacidosis or worse, diabetic coma.
Right. So this is pretty cool. I mean, imagine if they could do this and then interface with the insulin pumps to actually regulate what they need. It could be, could really perfect what diabetics need for insulin.
So that
would be great.
Talks about there's existing products out there. Apple has a partnership with Dexcom, which offers the G5 continuous glucose monitor.
Mm-hmm.
It allows Apple Watch users to monitor their blood sugar using an app that syncs with iPhone.
Nice.
Many GCM glucose monitoring devices have accuracy issues and require frequent calibration with blood glucose sensors.
Oh, boy.
However, regulators last year found the G5 readings were accurate enough to require calibration just once every 12 hours.
Oh, well, there's still a bit of a little work to do here,
but it's
a good,
to do.
It's
no
a good
question.
Step in the right direction. That's tremendous.
Yes, it is. And there's more in this article. We can put a link up to it.
Yeah. Oh, good news. I mean, poor diabetics have a lot to go through.
Well, I know. My mom was diabetic. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be great if it was more automated so they could live their lives and not continuously prick
themselves. Well, your watch or your iPhone could give you a monitor to tell you when you needed to.
Yeah. Well, if it speaks to the pump directly, man, you win.
Yep.
A couple lines open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go to Joe in Berlin. Hey, Joe.
Good morning. Hey, I called you guys last week about the issue I had with Mozilla Firefox opening in the sidebar.
Are you complaining?
No. I just want to let you know that right after I hung up with you guys, for whatever reason, I right-clicked on that link. I hit properties.
Yep.
And in the bar there is a check mark that says load this bookmark in the sidebar.
Yep.
I unchecked it and everything is fine.
Awesome.
What I don't understand is that I reset everything to factory default. I reloaded the program. It always remembered that one check mark.
And this time it didn't. Why. This time it didn't, huh?
Well, I had to uncheck it. Manually
uncheck
it. And then everything's running fine. But I just want to say thank you again. I love your show.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, we got to be careful, get these complaint calls coming in. And we have a department for that, So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about will be eventually posted to computertalkwithtab.com when that site is working properly. But it is posted to our Facebook page. This is not some sort of ruse to get you to follow us on Facebook. It just happens to be there and it does work. If you go to Tab, Computer Systems, and like us, you'll get it into your news feed. Or you can just go to the page and see it there as well. And then, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, Mr. Trump's favorite medium, and it'll be there as well. So we'll be here for another half an hour. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. A couple lines open, three lines open, actually. So feel free to get on. We'll do our best. Let's go on to your calls and Stan in Hanover first. Hey, Stan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I have two computers, both running Windows 10 anniversary.
Yep.
I get this automatic update business that you can't do much about, I guess.
It's quite annoying.
And one of them, yeah, it's annoying. One of them updated to Windows 10 Creator.
Yes.
Okay, that's no problem.
Yeah.
The other one gives me this thing, and it says update status. Updates are available, blah, blah, blah. Click to fix. It had ran into a problem. So I click to fix, and I come up with this thing. It says Windows 10 cannot be installed. You cannot install Windows on a USB flash drive using setup.
Which is what you're not doing, right?
Right, which is I am not doing.
Right. it's the year 2017, and Microsoft can't update your operating system. Now, was this Windows 7 to start?
No, it was Windows 8.1.
Okay, so it came out in that same flavor of the Windows 10 type flavor of OS.
Right.
You upgraded
right.
it to 10, and now it wants to go with Creator. Wow.
Yeah. And now it's telling me I can't. My other one updated perfectly. I mean, it did automatically. I didn't have to do anything.
Well, you know, Microsoft 50% of the time works is perfect, right? That's about the percentage you're hoping for. There's a couple of articles here that talk about the most common problems with Windows 10 Creator Update and how to fix them. I mean, it's almost embarrassing that Microsoft has to name this thing Creator, like it's some sort of, goes back to when we first started. And
Windows 3.1.
It's ridiculous here. I'm trying to find out why your system would think it's trying to be updated from a USB. All right. There's a lot of options here.
Oh, boy.
A lot of options, and there's 10 of them here, and any one of these could fix this problem.
Are you going to post a link to your Facebook page?
Yeah, because to take the amount of time to describe how to do that.
I'll take a quick look at it.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys, I built a new computer, and I used a APG instead of a CPU,
AVG,
instead of a CPU.
Yeah,
I'm loving it. I really am.
The AMD, you mean, right?
Yeah, I use the AMD to Series 10.
Yeah,
yeah, outstanding, really is. But I do a lot of photo editing, so I'm running 32 gigabytes of RAM on it. But
well, yeah, you get a lot of power there.
I got a 1,000 watt PS.
Oh. Wow. You have a 1,000-watt power supply? Holy moly.
Yeah.
Is this the machine that's not updating, though?
This is the machine that's not updating.
Oh, Stan. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, who knows? Your problem could relate to something you did on the config, maybe. But how long ago did you build this thing?
About 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks? So, wait a minute. You said it started as a Windows 8 machine.
No. Yes, it started as a Windows 8 machine. I put Windows 8 on it.
Okay.
This is a home-built machine. It's not that I bought. I bought the components and built it. And I had a Windows 8.
That dog is upset. Can you move the dog away?
Feed the dog.
So you started with Windows 8 2 weeks ago, and then you upgraded it. It's a legit copy, though, right, Stan?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Okay. And but now you're having this issue with it having a problem already. I mean, there could be.
Windows 10 Creator.
Right. Right. Well, we've got we'll put the link up there for you. There's like a bunch of issues that are caused by this Creator update. I can't believe there's already articles that are coming out talking about it. Did you find anything else, Bob, that he should find?
Nothing really good.
Okay, but the one I found I think is pretty good.
You know what? Maybe I just leave the bloody thing alone.
Well, you could do that. However, it's going to keep trying to update.
Yeah, that's the problem. It pops up all the time.
Yeah, so there's the eight most common problems with Windows 10 Creator Update that we're going to put here and how to fix them. And maybe one of those solutions will solve this issue for you. Stan. And maybe it's the AMD processor.
It could be. I have a quick question if you got a second.
Of course.
What do you guys know about the GTX 1080 video card? Do you know anything about it?
Not doesn't ring any bell. Is it an NVIDIA chipset?
Yeah, it's an NVIDIA chipset. I think it's put out by EVG.
Okay. Are you having troubles with it?
No, I'm contemplating buying one, but it's about a $700 investment. I'm just wondering if it's worth it.
You should always work backwards from the application you're using.
Okay.
So if you're doing, you know, photo editing.
I do a lot of photo editing.
Yeah, so I assume you want to buy that video card for that purpose. Always buy your technology to exceed the software requirements so that you can get a good solution. So I couldn't tell you how that card would relate to the software you're using. That's where you want to start. I'm sure it's a great card. Probably has 2 gigs of RAM. More.
Actually, I think it has, I think I saw it said it had 11.
11?
Mm-hmm.
Stan, you don't need that.
That's what I saw. That's why I'm asking, because that seems like an awful lot of RAM.
It's an awful lot of card for what you're going to be doing. If you're doing computer-aided design, 3D modeling, you know, SolidWorks, AutoCAD, you know, stuff like that, I mean, that's a very high-end card, even for 11 gigs of RAM.
I would still check with the software manufacturer and see if they actually support the card, because the card may be too new and they may not actually support it yet.
Yeah, it may not be able to take advantage of a lot of the things it has to offer you.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
You got it, Stan. A 1,000-watt power supply is a monster of a power supply to find in a PC. Typically, when we build our file servers for our clients, they have two 850-watt power supplies to run a full file server. To have 1,000 watts in your PC is, that thing's a monster. It's like a Hemi engine in a Pinto. Let's go on to Paul and Danbury here. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm looking to get a new computer. A couple of friends of mine have suggested that I, get the new computer. I have some issues. I have a Windows 7. It's probably, I would say, maybe 7 years old.
Yep.
Could be a little bit older. Not sure.
Served you well, then.
But definitely 7. And what I'm looking at is I've been listening to you guys, and you're saying about how, some issues with Windows 10. And I'm just wondering if I should just hold on for this for a little bit longer, or...
Well, you're going to, if you listen to any one of our shows, you'll find that there's issues with every operating system that comes out. So unfortunately, right. Yes, we just talked to the last caller, and the latest version of Windows 10 Creator update there is causing him some trouble. But you really have no choice. If you're going to buy new technology today, you're going to get probably a 7th generation processor. And if you use Windows 7 on that processor, you're not going to be able to update it. Microsoft is saying no updates for you. Because
I understand it. But yeah. I'm just saying is that when I buy a computer, definitely Windows 10.
Yeah.
But it's just I will have issues. I just don't want to have because a friend of mine that told me never to get Windows 8. So
yeah, Windows 8 should be long gone anyways. Windows 10 is the way you're going to have to go and should go. And yes, you're going to have issues. I mean, we've done this show now for 22 years. Eventually, all the computer problems will stop, but that's only when the machines take over.
Right. Well, I have to say that listening to you, I've gotten some of the stuff like malware bytes,
yep.
And I was amazed at the, I went through my, doing my computer, and I said, how much stuff that goes on there, and once a week I put it on there, and I'm surprised that I do get a couple of things listed as to
that are malicious.
Some of that's on there.
Yeah, I would recommend running OpenDNS, and that'll lower the chances of that stuff getting back on there.
Right. I have it. I go to your site once in a while. I look at the stuff that's there.
Yep.
And I say that you definitely stuff to help clean my computer out and. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed at, just sometimes, certain information. I mean, I have my computer, I pay bills on it, and mm-hmm. I do stuff, and even still, I'm like, how did this stuff pop up,
It is a little nerve-wracking, right? I mean, that's why I don't do any of that on my computer at home. I do it the old-fashioned way. I write checks. I know it sounds wrong, but I know how that sausage is made, and I just don't trust it. That's okay. Just me.
I don't mind if you know, one other thing. When I have a, I try to pay a bill, mm-hmm. and it said that I needed to update my browser, which yeah. I did, and it was I was using Google Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I updated it, but it's still saying that I don't have the right information. Is obviously I might be doing something wrong, or
find out if your bank requires you to use Internet Explorer. They might want you to run Edge or the Internet Explorer browser because they're more standardized to that. But double-check your version of Chrome against what the bank requires you to use and see if you're at the same level. If you are, then there's some other problem going on. But I would suspect they're going to want you to use IE for that, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, I never realized that because, you know, I had the latest version of Chrome. But I'll check that, and I do appreciate you.
Thanks, Paul. We appreciate you, too.
Okay,
a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And there's always Firefox and Opera because these browsers are being updated all the time.
Yeah, it's just his bank may not support that interface. You know, sometimes they require to use IE.
That's true.
So, yeah, based on even what he had just said, I mean, you think about it, you know, he's still finding malware weekly on his machine and then, you know, interfacing with the bank or interfacing with such and such. I always get concerned about, you know, what kind of browser hijacks are happening or what kind of Trojans are sitting on the machine that are key logging. Right. And, you know, you're only one infection away from your bank, your account being compromised. And now the banks want to charge you to send you a statement, right? I mean, I have a good buddy who's in the banking business, and I mean, I pay for my statement, my paper statement, because you only – the window to notice a problem with your bank account and have it corrected is 6 months. Now, Wells Fargo somehow created millions of accounts that nobody noticed. Millions! And how do they do that? Because they don't send you statements. And you're not getting them in the bank, in the mail. Why? Because they have the gall to charge you. So if Blumenthal wants to go after another low-hanging fruit type of issue, forcing the banks to send your statements via paper is still something we should do. I know he wants to save the trees, but we need to see it in paper so that we can actually make sure the banks themselves aren't doing any Wells Fargo stuff to us. You know, and the moment people remove money from your account, if you don't notice it for 6 months, they're not liable anymore. That's not good. Matt, do you print your statement out every 6 months or every day? Every month you print it out and read it? So Matt's checking his every single month. How about you, Bob?
I actually log in every day.
You log in. So you're on the computer.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't log in. But you're a geek, so you're pretty fairly certain your computer's safe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
How sure?
I'm very sure.
What's your password? Just kidding. We're going to take a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. Rick and Wallingford. Hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. This is Computer Talk. Yeah. And talking to our producer, Matt, he gets the paper statement and he prints out the electronic statement to make sure they match. Not so much we trust the banks. So, I mean, it's again, if Wells Fargo can do what they did and open up all those accounts without anybody noticing, we need those statements to make sure we can.
Well, I just like the return I get on my money that's in the savings.
Yeah, right.
0.00%
Well, they're having a hard time too. I mean, when they loan money out, I mean, they're not making any money either on the loans. So interest rates have to change a little bit. Let's move on to Rick in Wallingford. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good, thanks. Listen, what I was calling about, I've got a trouble with my inkjet printer.
Inkjet, okay.
It's an HP 6500. Got it probably 4 or 5 years ago anyway.
Okay.
And I put it, the black ink was drying out. Figured it was a new cartridge. Bought the new cartridge, put it in, and it's still not printing. And then I shake both cartridges, and you can hear the ink inside of them, so I don't think it was ever the first cartridge running out.
Right. It could be the nozzles which clogged up.
nozzle's clogged up. Is there a way to fix that? Do you have to put a new nozzle in, or?
Well, there's a cleaning routine you can run, but it's going to use a lot of ink when it tries to run this cleaning routine. Do you have any other ideas, Bob?
Well, you know, I used to do it a little bit different, a low-tech way.
A low-tech, oh boy.
Because if you pull the cartridges out and you see that there's like a lot of ink on the outside where the nozzles are, you know, you
well,
can kind
of... the nozzle's on the bottom. I thought it might rotate up, and so, it doesn't seem to do that.
So you can see that. So what I would do is...
No, I can't do that. I can't rotate it up to see that.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah, but you can take the cartridges out, correct?
Yeah, those come out, correct.
So what I used to do is I would take the cartridges out and lightly dampen some toilet tissue. And okay. Rub it over there and clean it off and put them back in. And a lot of times
on the top, the screen that the cartridge.
Not the top, no, where the ink comes out at the bottom.
Okay.
Hmm.
Just lightly rub
it
over.
You could typically see that it was really built up with ink.
Right.
Okay.
And do you do a lot of color printing, Rick?
Not a lot of colors, but in fact, I hadn't even had any color cartridges in there. I just put them in, and those work fine.
Yeah.
It's just the black cartridge that's...
Yeah, that nozzle's probably completely caked or frozen up with ink.
That's what I'm thinking.
So with the color, the cleaning routine you mentioned, is that something that's in the printer itself?
Or? Yeah, there's a routine that's in the printer itself that you can tell it to run, but sometimes it's just going to go through a lot of ink to try to do its routine.
Okay.
It's supposed to, quote-unquote, help clean the printer, but I always felt it was just chewing up a bunch of expensive ink, too. But in this case, sure. You can try it. Don't spend too much time and energy on it. I would always recommend if you can get away from inkjet and get over to laser.
I want a laser. My wife convinced me into the inkjet a while back because it was so cheap, but
yeah,
the lasers seem to be a lot cheaper now. And
it really can be very cost effective, and it won't have these types of issues.
Yeah,
you're going to have toner issues where HP is going to scream at you to buy more toner all the time, because that's where they make all their money. But it won't. You can run those toner cartridges to the very, very end. And
they last a lot longer than the cartridges, probably. Huh?
Oh yeah, I think so. And the cost per page is much lower than inkjet generally, unless inkjet's trying to come down too. But it's more maintenance. I mean, you're spitting all ink all over the page versus just using toner, which is a much cleaner method of printing. Still, still dirty, but it's much cleaner than inkjet.
And which are they all about the same? The levels of the lasers, the HPs, or the. The Epsons or whoever, Canon or whatever, they're all pretty similar.
I would look at HP. It's always been the brand that we always fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the others as well. But HP is more ubiquitous. Go ahead, Bob.
I have an article here from HP about black ink not printing and other print quality issues, and it tells you what to do. So we can put that link up for you as well.
That model printer or for
yes.
in general? Oh, wow. We even got it for that model printer for you, Rick.
Wow, for now, that'd be awesome, just so I can get my son's prints working for school and stuff, and I'll start checking out the lasers. And what's too much money to spend on a laser with color, because I need it for color.
Say you could probably get one for, $350-ish, roughly.
Do you have the scanning and copying ability with them too?
You can buy those as well, but generally, no, you're going to have to add more for that. But we're coming against a hard break. Check it out at Staples. They have all sorts of good options there, Rick.
All right, where do I find that link then? On
our Facebook page for now. Go to Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, okay?
Okay, great. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thank you, Matt, for producing. Dr. Leslie's up next.
See you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.